Eve, isn't it? Good to be in God's house. Man, good to be home. It's been a busy week for some of us, and we're just thankful to get home. That song was especially convicting to me as we've been out of town most of the week and then trying to get caught up yesterday and today. Things that need to be done and didn't get time to go out and tell folks like I usually do during the week about Christ. And we can be so busy, even doing the Lord's work, that we forget Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He did the saving. We need to help Him doing the seeking. And oh, that's good. John chapter number 11 this morning in your Bible. John chapter number 11. And we're going to read a passage of Scripture from John chapter 11. Of course, great chapter. If you're familiar with the Bible, you recognize this chapter as a place where Jesus raised Lazarus from the grave. John chapter number 11. A verse that I often quote is found in our text today, especially at funeral time. We think of this verse. John chapter number 11, and you found your place. Well, you have a Bible to follow along. I encourage you to follow along in your Bible today. We're going to turn to a couple places in the Scripture. When you come to church, don't check your thinking cap at the door, all right? You ought to be thinking. You ought to be following along, reading along in your Bible, jotting down notes. I'll put a few things up on the screen here, just a simple outline that you ought to at least get that down today. And I came across somebody's Bible that they left here a couple of days ago and found some notes, and I thought, boy, that sounds familiar. That's a message that I preached not too long ago. That's good to see somebody's taking notes and paying attention and hopefully remembering some things. John chapter 11, let's stand if you're able to. In respect of the Word of God, we read John chapter number 11, verse number 20 through verse number 27. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him. But Mary sat still in the house. And then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever Thou wilt ask of God, God will give it Thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto Him, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Father, we pray your blessing upon the Word of God today. And, oh God, I pray that you would use me to speak to hearts today through the words that are said. But more than that, the Spirit of God has got to pierce our hearts. God, I pray that the Spirit of God would work in each one of us this morning. Those that are here that know you as their Savior, and those that maybe are here that do not know you as their Savior, I pray that you would work and speak as only you can, and not to our minds, but to our hearts. Lord, help us to see wondrous things from your law today. And Lord, we're so grateful for this miracle that John records for us through the words of God in John chapter 11. And Lord, we're thankful for the promise that we see of our future resurrection. Thankful for the present resurrection that we can enjoy today. And God, I pray that you would speak to us now through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat if you will. And I was thinking of a song this week. Most of you know it. It's not a hard song to sing. I've got an extra verse at the end that God gave me a while ago. I think I did it once here, but sing along with me. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. That's a verse you don't know. When I am facing that lone dark valley, I know that Christ still walks beside me. When I am facing that lone dark valley, there's no turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. I'm so glad that God refers to death as the valley of the shadow of death. You ever notice that word, the shadow of death? The shadow is not a real thing. Death is just a crossing into heaven for those of us that are saved. And I'm grateful for the hope that we have in Him. And that He goes with us. We can walk along with Him. Now we're going to look at the resurrection. That Jesus is the resurrection. Verse number 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The Gospel of John has a number of statements where Jesus said, I am. Maybe the best one is, I am that I am, that I am. And he's referring to himself being God, the self-existent one, the one who depends on no one else for his being. He is God Almighty. He said that I am the light of the world. He said, I am the water of life, that I am the bread of life. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. He is the good shepherd. Now, Jesus made the statement that he is the resurrection. Of course, most of you are familiar with the setting. Jesus had been outside of Jerusalem for some time. He's coming to the end of his earthly ministry. And when he left Jerusalem, the Jews picked up stones to kill him. And he just walked through them and escaped town. And went to the area where he was first baptized, where his ministry began, where John the Baptist once preached, where John baptized him. John has since that time been beheaded by King Herod the Not-So-Great. And he is in heaven now. And Jesus got message from Martha and Mary, dear friends of his, back in Bethany, which was just outside the city of Jerusalem, that their brother, Lazarus, a very close friend of Jesus, was sick. And Jesus waited a couple of days before he responded. It took at least a day for the messenger to get to him and then to find him and to get the message to him. He waited a couple more days and finally told his disciples, our friend Lazarus is asleep. And they said, well, that's good. He said, well, no, it's not good, because he's talking about his death. He said, he's more than sleeping and taking a rest. He's dead. And I'm going to go raise him from the dead. And they said, what are you talking? What do you mean? And, of course, it took him another day to get there. By the time he gets there, Lazarus has been in the grave. He'd been dead for 4 days. And Martha meets Jesus when he comes into Bethany and has this conversation that we just read, part of that conversation. And then, of course, Mary, the other sisters in the house, and she sends for Martha, has Mary sent, and Mary comes out and meets Jesus. And then, of course, Jesus goes to the graveside, and I'm just telling the story in a nutshell. We're going to look at more details here in a minute. And Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, giving the greatest evidence that he is who he claimed to be. And the only better evidence that we're going to get is when Jesus raises himself from the dead, which is going to happen just a couple of months down the road from John chapter number 11. But I want to look at the fact that Jesus is the resurrection and the words that He said in the context of this chapter. And first of all, I want you to see what Jesus is referring to when He, in the conversation of Martha, what Martha was thinking of is the fact that that Jesus is the resurrection. She's thinking of our future resurrection. Notice again, verse number 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And certainly, if Jesus was there and His dear friend Lazarus was sick, He would not have waited till he died. He would have healed him of his sickness, and He certainly had the ability to do that. But now I know, that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. She understood. She's seen enough of the miracles that Jesus had done. She had faith that He could even raise him from the dead if He so choose. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now her first thoughts were, of course, in verse number 24, Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day. You see, when we die in this world, our spirit, our soul, leaves our body. That's separation. That is death. And God says that our soul and our spirit immediately go today to heaven or to hell, depending on what we've done with Jesus Christ. But in the last day, in the book of Revelation is talking about the last day, the end times. The last days cover a long period of time, not just a couple of days. We're talking at least 1,007 years. In those last days, when we follow the chronology of the book of Revelation, during that time, God is going to raise our bodies out of the grave. The Apostle Paul spends some time explaining that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, where our body is going to be reunited with our soul and spirit if we're saved in heaven. Now, I won't go through all the different resurrections, the two main resurrections that are talked about in the book of Revelation, the first and the second resurrection. And then there's a second resurrection at the end of the book of Revelation where those that have never trusted Christ as their Savior, their soul and their spirit are right now in hell, in the place of torment, in the place of flame and darkness, where the worm dieth not, as Jesus described that place, and their bodies will be raised from the dead. They too will be given a body that will never die. And their body, the book of Revelation says, will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. If you're not saved, well, you need to think about that. You need to strongly consider, where am I going to spend eternity? And forever being tormented in those flames. Not just a spiritual place, not a place where you just consume, but you're going to have a body that's never going to die. But it's going to feel pain. It's going to feel the misery and sorrow, and certainly you're going to remember the times when you rejected Christ as your Savior. But she's talking about a resurrection, a future resurrection, when her brother, who's now dead, who trusted Christ as his Savior, he's going to be raised from the dead. In fact, I want you to turn in your Bible, and these are great words of comfort to think of at a time of losing a loved one that's truly saved. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. At least part of this is very familiar to most of you, I'm sure. But I want to take time to look it up and read it again this morning. Our future resurrection. Martha said, I know that in the future he's going to be raised from the dead. 1 Thessalonians. That's hard to say for some of us. Sylvester the cat and myself have a hard time getting that one out. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica. I'm so glad I don't live in Thessalonica. I would have had a hard time with that when I was a kid. But verse number 13 says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or they have died, that ye sorrow not as others that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep or have died in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, that the word of the Lord, we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's what we call usually the snatching away or the rapture is the term that's usually used today. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I know it's verse number 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What a hope we have in Christ. Our future resurrection, where my body will be raised up from the grave. And no longer a body that's prone to sin and prone to death and decay. I'll be given a new body, a glorious body, like unto Jesus' body, that will never grow old, that will never die. And Martha was looking forward to that time, and she found comfort in the fact that she'll see her dear brother again. And that's what she was thinking of when Jesus spoke of the resurrection. In verse number 27, she saith, and then, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. That's what's necessary for salvation right there. To believe and confess that Jesus is the Christ, to call upon Him. She's received Him as her Savior. She's confessed, she's agreed with Him that she needed to be saved, and she is looking forward to that day. Now I wonder what else took place in that conversation. I believe personally that Jesus told her what He's about to do with her brother. Now He already told His disciples what was going to happen, and they didn't know. You know, it's kind of like when people are in church. It doesn't told you something. What? Huh? It's kind of like when you talk to your teenagers. Huh? What? They hear, but they really don't hear. I have a feeling that Jesus told Martha exactly what He was going to do. Now, the reason I get that is, you look at verse number 40, Jesus is rebuking her because of her, didn't I tell you? I told you what I was going to do. But she didn't hear. Maybe with the emotions and things, she just caught up. And much like us, our faith is often weak, even when we know what God's going to do. Huh? We know what God's going to do. We know that death is not a time of sorrow. It's sad because we leave folks behind, but we know that when we leave this world, we're going to step in the very presence of Jesus Christ. What could be any better than that? Now, we know that, but when the time comes, we're still kind of, oh, and we do all we can to hang on and everything else. But she had doubt, just like all of us do. Our faith is often weak because of the emotion, because of the things that we're going through in our present situation. But He spoke of a future, and Martha was thinking of a future resurrection, but this is the best part. And that is not only our future resurrection, but our present resurrection. What do you mean our present resurrection? Notice what Jesus said in verse number 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. Not I will be, not the resurrection in the future, right now. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, I still have a body that's decaying. I feel it every day. I seem to feel it a little bit more. That it's getting older. And it's getting harder to get this old body to do things that I would like to still do and think that maybe I can. And find out later I shouldn't have ought to done that. But we are prone to death. Our body is decaying. But Jesus said if we believe in Him, we'll never die. Now, we're not talking about physical. We're talking about spiritual. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I'm talking about our present resurrection. The Bible talks about being quickened when we're saved. We're made alive. The book of Ephesians talks much about that. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. In other words, when I was born into this world, yes, I was given a body. Yes, I was given a soul. That's my mind, my emotions, my will, my into everything that I am on the inside. But spiritually, I was dead when I was born in this world. When I trusted Christ as my Savior, my spirit was quickened or made alive or resurrected. You see, our spirit died with Adam when he first sinned. And we were born in the likeness of Adam, separated from God, spiritually dead, but physically and mentally alive. And that rebirth that Jesus talked about in John chapter number 3 to Nicodemus, except a man be born again. That's the quickening. That's the resurrection of our spirit. That's where life really begins. When we're made anew in Christ, our present resurrection. And Jesus authenticated His claim and His ability to raise us by His signs, by His miracles. In fact, we've got time to do this. I want you to turn. There are two occasions where Jesus raised somebody from the dead earlier in His ministry. In fact, they took place in the first year of His ministry, about a year and a half before this particular incident that we read about in John chapter 11. You go back to Luke chapter number 7. I want you to see these two times. And then I want to point out something that's obviously different this time with Lazarus. This was nearly 2 years earlier in Jesus' ministry in Luke chapter number 7. Matthew, Mark, Luke. That's pretty easy to find. The book right before John. Luke chapter number 7, verse number 12. When he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people in the city was with her. Now, keep this in mind. In Jesus' day, there was no such thing as welfare. If I was a lady and I didn't have a husband to care for me, my son would take care of me. Now, this is her only son that's died. She has no means to survive. And there's much more to this in the context of the day that Jesus lived in than what we would see today. In verse number 13, and when the Lord saw her, I love this, he had what? Compassion. Aren't you glad for the compassion that Jesus shows us? There were many other funeral processions that Jesus saw, but he had compassion on this particular widow woman who was bearing her only son. He had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, came and touched the casket, the box that they were carrying him. And way that they that bare him or carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Whoa, I've never seen that happen at a funeral. I hope I never do, to be quite honest with you. If I do, I'm not sticking around very long. In verse number 15, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered, Jesus delivered him to his mother. And there came fear, I guess so. And they glorified God, saying that the great prophet has risen up among us, and God hath visited His people. One other time, Jesus did something similar in the next chapter in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke chapter number 8, beginning in verse number 41. Notice this. And behold, there came a man of Jairus. It's a town. And he was a ruler of the synagogue, and fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come to his house, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. I'm going to skip down some verses where a woman touched him and was healed of an issue of blood. And we're going to go down because we're just looking at this one miracle that was interrupted by another miracle, showing the compassion of Jesus Christ. Amen? Aren't you glad he cares? In verse number 49, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. It's too late. She's gone. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father of them and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. She's hungry. She needs something to eat. Whew. Wow. But notice something different. And if we go back to John chapter number 11, from these two ones, what sets this one apart from the other ones is the fact that Lazarus had been dead. And we'll come back to this verse in verse number 39 in a minute, that he'd been dead for 4 days. These other two ones, they just recently died. And some might say, well, they weren't really dead. They were just in a state of a coma. And he just woke them up. But when somebody's been dead for 4 days, there's no question. You can't lay in a grave 4 days. Even if you're in a coma without getting some kind of nutrition put in your body, you would not, there's no way possible you would survive. But Jesus came to the grave of Lazarus in verse number 43. He says, he'd spoken, he cried with a loud voice, saying, Lazarus, come forth. And we're going to see what happens as Lazarus comes walking out of the grave in verse number 44 and verse number 45. Now, the greatest miracle, and this is by far the greatest miracle that Jesus had done in his earthly ministry. There's one other miracle that is going to prove that he is God. Now, all these things prove that he is a messenger. He's a spokesman for God. He's a prophet of God. But one miracle is going to prove that he is God, and that's going to come in a couple months when he raises himself from the grave. No one can do that but God himself. And we'll read about that one later in the Gospel of John. But all this was done to authenticate his message, to prove that he is who he said he is. Now, those of us who are saved today have experienced the resurrection in our life. We know what it is to be made new in Christ Jesus, to be a new creature in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Now, I think back, I don't suppose a day goes by when I don't think of what I was before God saved me and what I've been since God saved me. And how my life was totally transformed that day. And I got saved just because I didn't want to go to hell. But I didn't completely understand when I got saved what a change was going to take place in this heart of mine. But the sin that I used to feel comfortable in, all of a sudden I realized, well, I shouldn't be doing that. And the Holy Spirit's presence in my life. We've experienced that present resurrection if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's no greater life than living the Christian life. Now, my wife is, I guess I can tell you the story she's going to tell. I want to be down there to see the props, to see if they work. It looked like she was doing a science experiment. She's got two little trinkets that we have in our house. I don't know where they came from. That's usually set in our kitchen windowsill. And she has a brick that she's going to set one of the houses on. Now, you already guessed what the other one is. And she's got a pile of sand she's going to set the other one on. And then she's got a little vase with water. And if it were me, I'd throw some of that at the kids too. But and she's going to tell the story about the house that was built upon the rock stood when the rains came and the floods came, and the one that was built on the sand. And by the way, in that story that Jesus told, the same floods, the same storm came to both those houses. The difference was not in the storm. Well, you got life easy. No, we got the same storm as everybody else. But we're founded upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And what a difference it makes when you're founded upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word, in fact, Jesus said it's more than just being saved. It's building your life upon the Word of God. If you hear and practice and live by the, not only hear, but do the words that I speak unto you, you'll be like the man who built his house upon the rock. And if you maybe will hear, but you don't live by what God commands, you're going to still, even as a Christian, build your house upon the sand. And when the rains come, when the floods come, great will be the fall of that house. But I want you to know today, in this present resurrection and walking with Jesus and living with Him, being in His Word, praying every day and walking with God's people and fellowship with God's people and in church where God wants us to be, there's no greater life than living the Christian life. Sing a little chorus with me if you know it. It's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. It's a grand thing to follow Jesus anywhere and everywhere we go. For it's a grand thing to be a soldier in His army here below. It's the grandest thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. Amen. Isn't it a great thing to be a Christian? That's enjoying our present resurrection. But then I want you to see something that it's never dawned on me. I don't know how many times I read this chapter before. I think in the last 2 weeks, I would say I've probably read this chapter close to 100 times, and that's not exaggerating, believe it or not. I'm amazed I don't have it memorized, but most people would have it memorized by then, but some of us takes a little longer than others. But I want you to see something that I've never noticed to this time, and that is not only our future resurrection, but our present resurrection, but then how Jesus removes the stench of death. Isn't that something to think about? We're talking about God taking our sin to remember it no more. Psalm 103 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgression from us. To remember them no more. He's buried them in the depths of the sea to bring them up no more. I like what one preacher said when he sings a song. He's buried in the depth of the sea and he's posted a no fishing sign. Don't go back and get those things. You don't need them. Don't forget about them. They're gone. And as far as the east is from the west, and I love that picture because if you go to the north, you're going to get there. If you go to the south, you're going to get there. It's called the North Pole and the South Pole. But if you go to the east, that's that away, in case you're wondering. If you go to the west, that's that away. You can just travel the rest of your life. You ain't ever going to get there because there's no end to the east or the west. And that's how far God's removed our transgressions from us. He's taken them completely away. But I want you to see something in verse number 39. When Jesus came to the grave and He said to the people that were there at the grave, take away the stone. And Martha, the ever practical one, the one that's always thinking of things that, you know, some folks are like that. My wife and I just happen to be kind of in that category. When we see the things that people are meeting, we're thinking, who had to set this up? Who's going to clean up all this? And we're thinking of all the practical things that need to be done, and some people don't even consider that. But Martha was the ever practical one. She's thinking, you know, when we meet Mary and Martha, she's busy scurrying about the house doing things, and Mary's at the feet of Jesus and completely oblivious to everything that's going around and focused only on the Lord Jesus Christ. But Mary, or Martha, the sister of Lazarus, said, that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by now he stinketh. He's been in that grave for... Now, keep in mind, there was no embalming of Lazarus. When they died, they were put in the grave immediately for a reason. And they were wrapped in grave clothes. Now, how exactly they were wrapped, there's some question about that. The fact that he came walking out of the grave, probably his legs, and it was often done. Their limbs were wrapped separate from their bodies. And not just like a mummy that we would think of in ancient Egypt, but then the napkin about their face. But Martha is thinking, he's been in the grave for 4 days. He's going to stink. And think of the hot climate that they're in. I mean, even in a cave that probably wasn't a very deep cave. And the heat. If it wasn't for that wrapping, he would have been bloated by now. And I guarantee you that wrapping was tight as he was wrapped around him. But look at verse number 43. As Jesus prayed in verse 41 and 42, that's an amazing prayer right there. But in verse number 43, it says, when he had thus spoken after he had prayed, I want to just say about that prayer that Jesus wasn't necessarily concerned about Lazarus when he prayed. He wasn't concerned about Mary and Martha and his family when he prayed. He was concerned about those that are at the funeral, so to speak, that were not saved. And he said, I'm doing this so that they would be saved. Now notice what he said in verse number 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! You know why he called Lazarus by name? Because if he didn't use his name, everybody would have come walking out of the grave. He was just focused on one. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead, in verse number 44, came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. He was still wrapped in his clothes. Could you see this? I mean, here he comes. I might be able to bend his knees because he's wrapped in those clothes. And again, I'd been long gone by this time. I'm out of here. It's like a scene from a horror movie or something. And he comes walking out of the grave. And we're going to come back to this verse with another statement in a little bit. He's bound with napkins. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. But notice something I never really thought of before. Martha pointed out the obvious. He's going to come out stinking of death. But you notice there's no stench of death when Lazarus comes out. That's something only God can do. By the way, when He raises us, gives us life in our present resurrection, when we get saved, we now have the ability to overcome sin in our life. Now, we're not going to reach sinless perfection. In fact, my own experience, I've realized when God gives me victory over one sin, He just points out three or four more sins that I need to work on now. But we don't use that for anything. Well, bless God. And I hear a lot of Christians say that. Well, bless God, Christians aren't perfect. We're just forgiven. And they use that for anything. I can live any way I want to and still call myself, yeah, you'll still get to heaven. You'll be ashamed when you get there. But we need to learn to walk on the victory side of sin, to confess our sin and to forsake our sin, that we might have the type of fellowship that He desires to have with us. But just like Jesus, when He was in the grave for 3 days, the Bible said, and Jesus actually referred to David in the Psalms, said that He will see no corruption, that David will see no corruption. And Jesus said, well, David's been in the grave. His body's done rotted and decayed by now. But He was not referring to, David was not referring to himself when he died. He was referring to his son, Jesus Christ, the son of David, the offspring of David, who was the son of God as well as the son of man. And when Jesus went to the grave, He's the only one that went in the grave for 3 days and His body never began to rot. The Bible says He saw no corruption. He could not decay because He had no sin nature. And no one could take His life. He freely gave His life. But God has a way of removing the stench of sin. And you know, even when we talk about the future resurrection, when we get to heaven, there's going to be no more sin up there. Amen? Not only no more sin, but no more remembrance of sin. Not even the smell of death is going to be there. The final victory will be won, and that is victory over death. God removes the stench of death completely. Isn't that good? In our future resurrection and even in our present resurrection. I want you to turn to one of the passages of Scripture and we'll close here. Philippians. Philippians chapter number 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter number 3. I want you to see this in your Bible. Philippians chapter number 3. I was just going to read the verse, but I want you to see it as well this morning. Philippians 3 and verse number 20 through 21. For our conversation is in heaven. Our life is wrapped up in heaven. Our thought, our hope is in heaven, not on this earth. But that kind of destroys the social gospel that's so popular today. Well, if you get saved, you have a better life and everything will be rosy. And you know, our life, our hope is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this in verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. God's going to take this vile body, and at the time of the resurrection, the first resurrection, those that are saved, when we're caught up together, and Paul explains this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, with what body shall they be raised? If their body is decayed, God's going to give us a new body. And if we're alive and we're caught up together with it, God's going to transform us. And this body that I have there in this earth, it's going to change in that moment and the time it takes from here to heaven, which is a twinkling of an eye, God says, faster than we can blink. God's going to change. Remember Paul said, we shall be changed. He's going to change His vile, sin-filled body, like unto His incorruptible body. You ever wonder what that body's going to be like? We see it in Jesus when He came to the earth after His resurrection. Remember when the disciples were gathered in the upper room? I was just reading this yesterday again. Boy, that's good. When they were gathered together that first Sunday night service, and Jesus came walking in the room. He didn't use a door. He didn't crawl through a window. He just walked through the wall. Whew! And even better than that, we can walk right through things. We can fly if we want to. And even the best part, we can still sit down and eat.
Huh? And we don't have to worry about gaining any weight. Huh? And Jesus sat down with a meal with the disciples and broke bread and broke the fish and passed it around and had himself some food. And boy, what a wonderful body we're going to have in heaven. No more sickness, no more death, no more pain. But we can understand today, though death is going to be dealt its final blow and we're going to be alive forever in heaven, but still today we can have that victory. We can know the presence of God. And we can know the victory over sin and over the things that are out to destroy us today. But it all begins when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we're born into His family, when we experience that present resurrection. And I encourage you, if you've not been saved, to trust Christ as your Savior today, that you would know what it is to be born again, as Jesus defined it to Nicodemus. And religion doesn't give you that. Only Jesus can give you that. And only Jesus can give you the hope of eternity in this place that we call heaven. I'm going to ask you to...